It's good to see you all here this morning. We have a few announcements to make. So, where's Gabby? Gabby? Where you at, Gabby? Gabby Stoffel. I said, oh yeah, hey. And Victoria, y'all come on up here. Gabby and Victoria, y'all come on up here real quick, okay? All right. Everybody say hi to Gabby and Victoria. All right, there we go. Victoria, Gabby, say hi to everybody. All right. Anyway, they are coming, and they're going to follow in believers' baptism at the end of the service. And so, yeah, we got a great surprise, too. The water's not heated. But anyway, it'd be just like the river experience. Just act like you're at the river. But anyway, this is Gabby right here, Stoffel, and she's put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and she wants to follow in believers' baptism. So if we have a motion for that, we have a motion, we have a second, all in favor. Raise your right hand, say amen real loud. Amen. Amen. And this is Victoria Taylor, and she also wants to follow in believers' baptism. So if we have a motion, we have a second, all in favor. Raise your right hand, say amen real loud. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all can be seated. Whenever we give the invitation, just head on back to get ready, okay? All right, good deal, good deal. All right. Let me go over just a few announcements with you. We're so excited for them following in believers' baptism. It is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes, that's exactly what I say. I only have just a few announcements to make. So the monthly ladies' luncheon will be held this Friday, July the 12th at 11:30 at the House of Grace Restaurant in Paducah. Please let Diana Swinford know if you plan to attend. All ladies and friends are welcome, and so please let them know. Registration for CrossCon 2025 is open. This is a conference for the college-age young adults. Details are available today in the bulletin or by contacting Brother David Atwell. If you have any questions, see them. I also want to thank you all for praying for my grandson, Connor. So Connor was walking next to my older grandson who was swinging a baseball bat. And so Wednesday, just everything changed real quick whenever we took off the hospital for that. Just watching him closely over the next couple of weeks and keeping him rested. We thought it was just mainly going to be a concussion, but come to find out he had a small fracture of his skull and a little bit of bleeding, but everything is looking good now, so keep praying for his recovery and for him to get stronger and stronger, okay? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. We're going to be in 1 Peter today, so we're going to continue in the book of 1 Peter. I am really excited about this, as we're going to be talking about our inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ, okay? So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning, the wonderful and awesome privilege to gather together with your people for your name and for your glory. And Father, we know that Satan doesn't like what's going on. Matter of fact, he tries to weed his way in and tries to separate and divide. And Lord, we just pray that you will plant a hedge of protection around this place. And Father, today that through the songs and through the reading and preaching of your word, that it will just penetrate hearts for those who are believers in Christ, that they will grow in Christ. For those who don't know Christ, that they will come to know you personally as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for these two that have come to follow in believers' baptism. What a statement, an outward expression of an inward decision that they made for Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would use them all the days of their life for your name's sake. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. Let's all stand together as we begin to worship through music. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's exactly what we're going to sing about this morning, that Jesus did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So let's lift up our voices and worship together this morning. all throughout my history. Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storm made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Son of man, stories of a Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor. No ear has heard, no eye has seen the image of the Father, until heaven came to live with me, a rescue like no other. You are worthy, you are worthy of your name. You are worthy, you are worthy of your name. Speak, you made no sound. You died for your accusers, and as your blood fell to the ground, you redefined my future. And on the day that you arose, the darkness ran for cover. For the King of Kings has claimed his throne. Now until forever. My saving grace. You're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. And you stand by my side, you stood in my place, Jesus, no other name. Only Jesus, no other name. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, a ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. For love, the whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom.
To come up, I just want to say just a huge, awesome thank you to one of our own. Kobe Keller is here with us. He's in the military. He's active duty, but he's home, so we're glad to see you here. Thank you for everything. Yeah. Gave me a hug a while ago and about squeezed me to death. No, I'm kidding. So strong. It is so cool to see you. It was good to see you this morning. If we can have our ushers come up and continue praying, not only for him, but all of our military. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1, so you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jim Bourne, would you bless this offering?
Lord, it's so good to be here this morning. It's so good to be able to be here. Most of all, it's so good to come and celebrate Jesus, John, and celebrate. You said a prayer that you had for us. Thank you for the mind that you've done in our life, Lord. Thank you for great things you're going to do this morning. I'm excited to see what you're going to do. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to know how thoroughly I enjoy just being able to stand up and just be able to preach and teach the Word of God. I love getting down sometimes from the pulpit. I do like getting behind the pulpit from time to time. But I also like to get down among you all and be able to look at you and see you. And as we study through the book of 1 Peter, it's just practical insights on how to live as a Christian. And I believe if I surveyed you all and asked you all, it's tough sometimes to be a Christian, right? It's tough sometimes just everyday life, walking with the Lord. And many of you say sometimes it's really tough. But you know also as a believer it's very rewarding to be able to be called a child of God and to be His. And so Peter is just giving here practical living in a time that's really difficult. And so kind of like what the day and time that we're living in now. Last week we heard about the author Peter. We learned about who Peter was. And we know really quickly that Peter wasn't perfect. He had his own things. He had his own failures. He messed up. And because he messed up didn't mean it was fatal. Didn't mean it was finished. God still had a plan for Peter's life. Peter was the kind that would put his foot in his mouth. And many of us have been there as well. So we can relate to that. And so I can relate to so many people in the Bible. One of them is Jonah. One who ran from God and complained a lot. I don't know if y'all ever complained. But every now and then we'll complain. We'll find ourselves doing it. Sometimes we'll be like Peter and we'll put our foot in our mouth. And, you know, and aren't you glad that God is God of grace? That God is a God who forgives and God is a God who gives second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And we can't even count the chances that God has given us, right? Just on a weekly basis. And so as we go through this, I want us to see the practical living of a Christian. Now, I said in the first service, and I'll say in the second service, I don't get so caught up or hung up on end times as much. And the reason being, I'm not saying don't study end times, you need to study end times, but don't let that be your whole life pursuit, that you're always trying to study end times, because here's the reality of that. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. We know that Jesus is coming back. You have in your churches and in the world, you have pre-tribs, you have amillennials, you have post-tribs, you have all these. I line more up in pan, a pan millennial, that it all pan out. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that to just kind of write something off, but I'm saying that you can get so hung up that you forget about practical living in a world that we live in. Now you got to have the balance of all of it, okay? What I do know for certain is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to come back, and are you going to be ready for when Jesus comes back? Is your life ready for when He comes back? And we know that He's going to come back, okay? So let's dig into the Word of God and let's let the Word of God speak to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, okay? We all need practical living in a world that we live in today. So let's just start in chapter 1, verse 1. I know we read that last week, but I'll go through it pretty quick, and then we'll get down to where we need to get. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Now I just want to pause there. I know I hit it briefly last week. But he's talking about a new birth into a living hope. And for some, they might say, well, I don't understand what that means. Sometimes we can overlook, because we think it's obvious to us, that it may not be obvious to everyone. And so sometimes we have to pause and we have to back up and realize that there's going to be some who's not going to understand what he's talking about here when a new birth. What does he mean, a new birth? He said, all of us have been born physically, or we wouldn't be here right now, okay? Or we wouldn't be here. But he's talking about a new birth. Now, what does that mean? It means that every person must be born again, must be born from above. We know that John came to Jesus at night to guard his reputation in John chapter 3, and he was wanting to know more about what he must do to be saved. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You must be born again. How can I, an older man, a man who has all the physical weight and everything, how can I be born a second time?" And he was missing the point. He's not seeing that you must be born from above. You must be born again from God. And he's talking about being born from above into this living hope. And for every believer, our hope is living. Our hope is Jesus. I don't know what many of you today are putting your hope in. I hope you're putting your hope in Jesus Christ, because He is a living hope. And everything else is dead hope. Everything else will fail you. Everything else will fall through. Nothing will work outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He has put eternity in the hearts of all men and all women. And the only thing that can fill that void in your life is a relationship with Jesus. Not a religion. A relationship. And I can't tell you how many people that I come across who are trying to fill up in their life an unhappiness, an uneasiness in their life, and they're trying to fill it up with relationships, they're trying to fill it up with their jobs, they're trying to fill it up with alcohol, they're trying to fill it up with drugs, they're trying to fill it up because there's something missing in their life. Well, the good news is that which is missing in your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can speak from experience in my own life, because I understand that. Because I tried to fill up the void in my life with all these things in my life, and it always left me unhappy. It always left me unfulfilled. It wasn't until I met Jesus Christ, who not only came into my life, but became my life. He became my life. You see, when Jesus comes in, He comes in not only just as Savior, He comes in as Lord. And Lord of your life, that now this emptiness that you had, this void in your head that you had, this darkness that you had, is now filled with a relationship. And Jesus is a living hope. He is the living hope. And that's what Peter's saying. You know what Peter wants you to see more than anything? He wants you to understand this, who you are. He wants you to understand who you are as a Christian. Sometimes when we get out in the world and we get going in our busy days of life, we forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, you know what we do? We do things that we shouldn't do, because we have forgotten who we are. I want to remind us all today, including myself, and I need this just as much as anyone else, that if you're a believer, you are a child of God. You have been adopted by the King. And you are special in His eyes, and He loves you beyond measure. Sometimes we get so caught up in things in the world that we forget who we are, that we forget the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. And you know what? We feel like we're no account. We feel like we're just spinning our wheels. We feel like we're just in a rut. We feel like that I'm not getting anywhere. And the reason being is because the world has beat you down, and the world has beat you up. I have literally talked to people, students when I was in youth ministry, adults as I've been in pastorate, who've been told all their life they will amount to nothing. They've been told that they are worthless. They have been told that they are useless. That is the home life that they were in. And if you're told that enough, you know what? You begin to believe it. And you begin to believe it. And you begin to believe it, and it's hard to break that cycle and to understand that you are valuable and you are precious in the eyes of God. You are a chosen instrument. God has a plan for your life. And that plan comes only through a living hope in Jesus Christ. He did for you what you could not do for yourself. He died in your place. Why? Because there was a huge problem. And the problem was sin. And because of that sin, there was separation. And because of that separation, if you died in that moment, you would split hell wide open and you'd be forever cast away from God, forever and ever and ever. But because of the living hope, because Jesus knew the problem, He became the solution. And He came and He lived in this world for 33 and a half years. And He died a death that was meant for every single one of us. And He took your sins upon Himself. Why? Because you were valuable in His eyes. And He loves you beyond measure. We can't even fathom His love for us. And He is our living hope. Let's go on. In this birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what? And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I've been thinking about this word all week long. Into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. A lot of times when we mention the word inheritance, we think of something that maybe we will get after someone's gone. We tease all the time each other when we're at Chick-fil-A on Tuesdays about not spending our kids' inheritance. Make sure that if we go buy something, we better ask one of our kids first because that might not be what they want. Because they're the ones that are going to get it later on in life. And so we tease each other about this jokingly because there'll be times that we'll say, let's just spend the money so that they don't have any. It's ours anyway. No, we talk about an inheritance of something that you will get later on in life. But let's just be honest. The things that we get in this world, the things that we get in this life, those things will perish. Those things will spoil, and those things will fade. But we're talking about an inheritance that will never perish. When you become a child of God, you now, your Father is in heaven and He owns cattle on a thousand hills. And He's not talking about earning and gaining physical things. He's talking about earning and gaining and loving in a relationship with Jesus Christ, what He did for you. That when you accept Jesus Christ and He becomes Lord of your life, you have treasures that you can't even fathom. And the greatest treasure is this, is God. Is there anything that He can give you any greater than Himself? He is the greatest thing that can He ever... What can He give you that's better than Him? There is nothing. And so therefore, our treasure and our inheritance in coming to salvation in Jesus Christ is that we get to spend eternity in every day and all day walking with Jesus. It is a wonderful privilege and an honor every day to walk with Christ. Practical living in a world that is messy. Learning how to walk with Jesus. Would you not say that it's hard to learn sometimes how to walk with Jesus? I mean, let's just be honest. It really is. You watch a child walk. It's tough. They get up, they fall, they get up, they fall. You're right there with them. You're going, I am. I think that's how I hurt my knee. And so you're always sitting there. But you and I, we're going to walk and we're going to fall and we're going to walk and we're going to fall and we're going to blow it and we're going to repent and we're going to walk. That's the life. Now when sin comes in our life, now the difference between an unbeliever and a believer with a believer, it breaks our heart when we sin. When I was an unbeliever, it didn't break my heart. I looked for ways to sin. But there's a difference now. Christ is living in me and through me. And we're walking and we're learning to walk. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And so he goes on to say, and it's inheritance. Let me just continue pausing here just a minute. As I'm going through this, I have thoughts. You know, There's a good friend of mine who I've been playing pickleball with. He's retired. And we were talking a few months ago, and he said this. It really stuck with me. And his kids were buying a house, and he knows how tough it is for young people to get started in the world. And he said, you know, I just wanted to go in half on it with them. And he said, I went and I paid half for them. And he said, I wanted to send them on a trip to Disney. I wanted to get them, I wanted them to have fun. And I said, man, that is pretty awesome that you can do that. He said, the Lord has blessed me. I know not everyone can do that. But he said, you know what? I wanted to see it. I wanted to experience it. Most of the time when you talk about an inheritance, it's we're already gone. He said, I get to experience it every day to watch them living in it, to see them enjoying it, and that is a joy for me. You think about that. He is experiencing that. As a believer in Christ, we get to experience the inheritance every single day. You see, there is also a story in the Bible about two sons. And these two sons, one son come to his father and he says, I want my inheritance now. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were already gone so that I can have my inheritance. What I want is my inheritance now. This was a picture of someone who was very selfish, someone who thought that the world owed them and that you owe me. Why? Because I'm born into this world, so therefore you owe me. Therefore, I'm entitled to this. I'm your son. I'm entitled to this. Listen, we aren't entitled to anything but hell. You and I have what we have. It's by the grace of God. And we are to be a grateful people. And this son, what did he do? He took his inheritance. His father gave him his side of the inheritance. And what did he do? He went out and he squandered it. He squandered it on wild living. He went and lived how? The way he wanted to live, not the way that God wanted him to live. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to do. And it wasn't long that he came to the end of himself and he found himself in a hog pen. And he was eating the slop of the hogs. And what's really neat about this story is the Bible says that he came to his senses. You know what that literally means? He remembered who he was. You see, when you forget who you are, you live the way you want to do, not the way God wants you to. And he came to his senses and he got up and he went home. And I love this story. And as he went home, guess what? The Bible says that his father saw him from a long way off, which is telling me that his father was looking for his prodigal son who ran away and did what he wanted to do, but it never changed the love of the father. The father, when he saw him, didn't go to the back room and say, I'm going to make him come to me. I'm going to show him. And I'm just gonna beat him down because he needs to learn a lesson. The father didn't do that. The father threw the door open and he took off running to the son. And his son saw his dad coming. And the closer that his dad got, the more his head bent down in shame. And the father threw his arms around his son, and the Bible says that he kissed him. And he gave him a ring, and he gave him a robe, and he killed the fatted calf. This son of mine who was dead is now alive. This son of mine who was lost is now alive. And he loved him. Do you want to know how much the Father loves you? He loves you so much that he sent his son on the cross to die for you. And we can't even fathom that. Not only for you, he died for your kids. He died for them. He died for mine. He died for our grandkids. He died for them. That is how much He loves you. This is an inheritance that we get to spend the rest of our lives and eternities with the Father. And when you get that in Christ Jesus, it will never spoil. Get this. Let's read on. I get excited when I... Can y'all tell? I mean, this is good stuff. Oh, let me find my place. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Get this. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It is kept in heaven for you. You know, we have what you call safe boxes. Or a safe in your home. Can I ask you a question? Is that safe in your home? Is it safe? Not to a thief, right? If that thief wanted your safe, he'd get that safe. If you keep something in your car and you think it's safe, a thief can get it. My dad said, always used to say, locks are to keep an honest person honest. The safe could burn up. The safe can be stolen. Everything in there had a value and it's gone now. It's no longer. Maybe some things that you had when you were younger that you cherish are gone now because maybe it burned up in a fire, or maybe it was stolen, or maybe it was taken. But this inheritance that you and I have as believers, you know where it's kept? In heaven. Can I ask you something? Can it be stolen? Absolutely not. Can you get to heaven to steal it? No. It is kept in heaven and it is guarded by the King. And this inheritance that we have, this is awesome news. Because boy, if it was left up to me, I would lose it somewhere. I lose my keys. This inheritance that we have is kept in heaven. And look what it says. And through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, I've got that circled. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You and I as believers, we aren't exempt from trials. That's a progressive gospel. That's an easy believism gospel. That is not the true gospel. The true gospel says that in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations. You're going to go through hardships. But it's only for a little while. It's only for a brief moment. You may feel like it's forever, right? When you're going through something, you think, am I ever going to get through this? And then you think about life. Y'all ever think about life, or is it just me? I think about life. I remember being 16. I was looking at an old Mission Fuge picture a while ago. I showed Caitlin a little while ago. That was 24-year-old Trad. In that Mission Fuge picture, 24 years old. It was like yesterday. And now I'm going on 55. John turned 60. I said, man, in 10 years, you're going to be 70. In 20, you're going to be 80. In 30, you're going to be 90. In 40, you're going to be 100 years old, John. Time just flies just like that. So in this moment that we're going through, this trial that you're in, it's only for a moment. It's only for a time. And God has you. And this inheritance that He has, this is what Peter is saying in this. To understand. Y'all ever have a pop quiz? They still do those. Y'all know what those are? They don't have those anymore, pop tests? They said no. They need to bring those back. You know, a pop test, many of you know what it is. It's you walk into class and all of a sudden they throw a pop test on you, you didn't know anything about it. You know, I didn't know anything about it. That's why it's called a pop test. It just pops up. And all of a sudden, you got to know the content of what you've been studying. And the reason they do that is to see where you are. To see where they need to teach. Where they need to teach you. And it comes up. Man, I hated pop tests. I never did good at them. I never did good at the regular ones either. But there's going to be times, listen, God will bring a pop test into your life. Not because He doesn't know where you are. Because He wants you to know where you are. And there will be a trial that will come up in your life. And that trial is not to hurt you. It's to help you. You see, God doesn't tempt, nor does He tempt anyone, but He will bring a test in your life. And maybe what you're going through right now is a test in your life. Peter is just reminding you, remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. When that trial comes up and when that test comes up in your life, when you begin to remember who you are and who you belong to, you know it's going to be okay. Because you were kept by the King. You were held by Christ. The world, it wants you to forget who you are. Because when you forget who you are, you act like the world. But when you remember who you are, you know what? You tell that test and you tell that trial, my God's got me. He will never let me go. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my strength. He is my right hand. He is everything to me. And when you begin to remind yourself of who you are, you begin to see who God is. And it is amazing. And it says, whenever you have grief and all kinds of trials, these have come. Look what it says. These have come. So that proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined fire. You see, faith is greater than gold. Your faith is valuable. Do you know what we need more than anything, church? We need a greater faith. Not only as a church, but as individuals. And I'm going to try to look at individuals here, because I want to make this really personal. It's easy to hide in a big group or a big church, but I want to look at you individually. The thing that we need to repent of more than anything else is the lack of faith. The thing that we need to pray for more than anything else is to have more faith. I don't know about you, but I struggle in the area of faith. I want to say I have faith until something arises, and then sometimes I'm afraid to step out of the boat. Sometimes I'm afraid to take that step of what? Faith. So therefore, it directs my prayer life. God, forgive me for my lack of faith and help me to have a stronger faith. Because I know that Your Word says to have a stronger faith is more precious than gold. And we need to strive for that in our church's life, and we need to strive for that in our individual lives. And he goes on to say, greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in what? Praise, glory, and honor. When we begin to have more faith and we trust God more, then we have praise more in our hearts. We believe Him. We trust Him. And then it gives way to glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed through. And though you have not seen Him, get this, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. I mean, this is pretty practical reading here. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. How many of you have seen Jesus physically? You say, I feel Jesus. He's in my life. But He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. If you ask me if I love Jesus, I'm going to say yes. Have you seen Him? I haven't seen Him. I've seen Him at work, but I haven't seen Him. But you love Him? Yes. See, this to the world is unbelievable. To the world it is unbelievable. Why? How do you love someone that you've never seen? How do you love someone? How do you have faith in someone? How do you trust someone you have never seen? Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Yes. And there is no one on the face of the world, face of the earth, that can convince me of anything else. Because I love Christ. Why? Because He first loved me and He is in my life. Look what it says. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with the inexpressible, glorious joy. Can you imagine the world looking at this and saying, how in the world do you love someone you haven't seen, and how are you filled with inexpressible joy? I mean, this is absolutely amazing. Jesus said, if the world hates me, it will also hate you. And it causes, whenever I came to Christ, He put a song in my heart, and I hadn't stopped singing yet. I haven't stopped singing yet. Why? Because there's an inexpressible joy in my life. Not because of anything I've done. There is a difference between happiness that is temporal and joy that's eternal. That's why I wanted to bring about this in the first service. You don't base anything on your feelings. Many times we base decisions on how we feel. Man, that's different every day. It's different with me. It's different with you. Yeah, how do you feel today? Well, I feel terrible today. How do you feel today? Oh, I feel great. Our life on how we feel is a roller coaster. It's up and down. You don't base things on how you feel. You base things on the Word of God. You always fall back on the Word of God. That's why you never make a decision on your feeling. You go with what's concrete and you base it on the Word of God. Why? Because it will never steer you wrong. It will never lead you astray. And then it goes on, and I'm closing. It says, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You're receiving it. I love this. Because not only at the moment that I gave my life to Christ, did I experience Christ, at this moment, many years later, I am still experiencing Christ. I am still receiving what God has given me when I was 23 years old, and that was salvation. It wasn't just an experience, it is a continual experience. Not only do I don't have to wait for my inheritance, I am now experiencing my inheritance. The moment that you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you begin to experience the inheritance that God's given you. He doesn't say you got to wait till you die before you get this. The moment that you place your faith and trust in Christ, you get the greatest of all, and that is Christ in you. Do y'all get this? We get to walk with God on a daily basis, every single day, and we get to enjoy His experience. Because you made a decision then, doesn't mean you have to wait to heaven before you get to experience it. At that very moment, I have been getting, what a privilege it is to experience Christ from the moment that I accepted Christ till now. And I know it's going to go all the way through eternity. So when I die, it's not going to stop. It's just going to continue on. And that's what Peter's saying. To remember who you are. To know who you are. The world is, and you're going to see this in Peter, the world is going to look strange to you. In the world, you're going to look strange to the world. You ever look at someone and said they're strange looking? I know we shouldn't do that. But sometimes, you know, we people watch. Y'all ever people watch? Go to the mall, go to the amusement park, and you people watch. You say, boy, that's strange. Boy, they're acting strange. You ever say, people act strange? I act strange, I'm sure. And it's strange. There are things that come out to us that are strange. Well, to an unbeliever, we look strange. It don't fit in line with their way of thinking and how they live their life, because it goes against the grain of everything that God is. And get this, As you grow in your relationship with Christ, this world is going to look strange. And I'm telling you, it's looking stranger and stranger every day. Why? Because this isn't our home. If somebody come into your house and move stuff around, would you notice? Absolutely. I do that to my son-in-law all the time. Move his toothbrush over here. Stick the toilet paper over here. They're familiar with their settings. I probably wouldn't notice them. Yeah, I would. Certain things. This world isn't our home. Our home is in heaven. I'm going to read quickly now. You ready? Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the suffering of the Messiah and of the glories that would follow. Get this, from the beginning of time they tried to predict Jesus and when He was coming. So in the Old Testament, you had minor prophets, you had major prophets. What separated them? What a minor prophet was a smaller book. A major prophet was a larger book. Isaiah is known as a major prophet. Jonah is like a minor prophet. And what did they do? They pointed toward the coming of Christ. In the Old Testament, they waited for Christ. Kind of what we're doing, right? We're waiting for the coming of Christ. They waited for the coming of Christ, but in a different way, that He was going to come and die for the sins of the world. Did they know when He was coming? No, but they knew He was coming. Can you imagine, I said this first service, can you imagine Mary? I mean, all of a sudden, she's pregnant with child. Don't know who the dad is. Joseph. What in the world's going on here? Not quite understanding it, not quite getting it. And all of a sudden, the angels had to come and explain it. That Mary is going to have a child. And the Father is in heaven. The Messiah is coming. And the Messiah is going to be born in a manger and would die on a cross. And He would be resurrected. But get this. He's coming again. He's coming again. And when He comes, my heart's desire, and I want to preach till the day that I die about this, is that I want to prepare anyone and everyone who will listen that there is going to come a day when Jesus will come back. And what you do in the meantime will determine where you will spend eternity. And the greatest thing that you can do today is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. Because if Jesus came back today and you're not ready, you'll be forever separated from God forever and ever and ever. And that is the truth. But if you have already made preparations for that, and you have repented of your sins and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, guess what? You have been adopted by the King and your inheritance is in heaven. I'm not telling you, you should not trust in a religion. You should trust in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what the prophets were pointing to. In verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. But when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. So I want us to see, and we're done, is practical living every day to remind yourself and preach yourself the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. Don't let the world tell you anything different. You are valuable to Him. So valuable that He would shed His own blood for you. every single day. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to look at me. I can't think of a greater day than today than to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. Today is a day of salvation. Today is the day. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it is so joyous to be able just to stand and proclaim the Word of God. I thank You that You did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That You died in our place. Help us, Lord, to walk with You every day. When those trials come or when those tribulations come, remind us, Lord, of who we are. Don't let us get caught up in the world. It's so easy to get caught up and it's so easy to drift away. And then we ask ourselves, how did we get so far away from You? Lord, the great thing is that when we feel like we're a million miles away, all we have to do is turn around and You're right there. And Lord, I pray this morning for that one or two or three that's in this building that don't know You. They're sitting there right now contemplating whether or not they should give their life to You. I pray that You have burdened their heart so much that they can't even sleep until they repent of their sin and come to You. I pray for that one this morning that's away from You, God. They know they're not where they need to be, and they've been running from You. But Father, You would bring into their life an awareness of where they are. And Father, they would come running home. And Lord, I thank You that You have placed the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, You love us with an everlasting love. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. We give You all the glory right now. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Church, can we sing loud? Listen to the words of this. And those who are going to be baptized, if you want to go ahead and go back and get ready, and Caleb will meet you back there. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, oh, what a great day to step out by faith and trust Him. The hardest step is that first step. To take that first step of faith, and He'll take all the rest. Or maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and just fall before Him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Give me a greater faith.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as You find me. All my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior,
God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Morning. It is a massive blessing to be able to be here this morning and celebrate the expression of faith of Miss Victoria and Miss Gabby. And it's just an honor to be able to do this. So, Miss Victoria, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. We got Miss Gabby. It is a little chilly. I'll get you out fast. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, married with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. I told you.